nigga.
Solid. Right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Connor?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Well, I'm doing fine, man. I got a lot to talk about this morning, as always. And, you know, there are times when you can barely scratch the surface of things to talk about. And then there are other times when, man, there's so many things to talk about that you wish you had even more time. And we're going to cover a whole array of subjects. But I want to begin with this, man. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You know about that?
The Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah.
Yeah, they made us say that every single day at school.
So listen, man. Yeah. They used to make us, you know, when I was a young man, You put your hand over your heart and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I want to talk about the words of the Pledge of Allegiance to begin this show. And the phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. The Pledge of Allegiance. Let's begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Is there anybody within the sound of my voice who thinks that that's happening in this country anymore? You know, when you listen to and watch the division that's in this country and people who are on one side or the other, people who are staunch conservatives or people who are progressives, that I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. That's not happening anymore. And if there's anybody who thinks that that is still happening, 844-967-2789. And the question becomes, why is it not happening? When did this nation and the people of it get to a point where that no longer carries the importance that it once carried, especially, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago? That has just been basically pushed aside because there are people who say, I don't like the way things are going in the society and they're not going my way. So be damned with all the rest of that. I want things to go my way. That's not pledging allegiance to a nation that we all at one point in time were so proud of that was a part of our everyday life. It's not there anymore. And I challenge anyone to tell me that it is. I'm asking the question, why are we not challenging those who have basically pushed that asunder? You remember, many of you who've been around long enough, how important that was to this nation. It's no longer that. The national anthem. People stand up and they recite it, but those words don't mean anything to far too many people in this country. Now, we can dismiss it. We can act as though what I'm saying is not true. But there's not one person who can call here right now and challenge what I'm saying as being untruthful or inaccurate. Because what I'm saying is 100% correct. And whether Americans want to accept that or not is at the root of where and why we have these major issues that we're dealing with now. Well, yeah, I'm a conservative, and we're right on things, and so we don't care about what anybody else says. Things are going to go our way, or all of those other things, Bill of Rights, Constitution, you know, Pledge of Allegiance, that means nothing. And this is coming from people who claim to be and who swear that they are patriots. But they won't stand up and they won't admit that these things are in the rearview mirror to far too many people in this country. I'm sorry that I have to begin the show with something of this magnitude before you've had your cream of wheat, you know, a malto meal or whatever it is. But if we can't have truthful dialogue and conversation over the airwaves, then what is the point? I know that these things don't carry the weight that they once carried. The question becomes, do you know it? And do you know why? All right. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Not happening. And to the republic for which it stands. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation. Where is that? This is not one nation. As divided as this nation is, more so, I think, than it's been since the Civil War, how can we then even talk about what that Pledge of Allegiance means? There is no allegiance. We're not one nation. And we're certainly not one nation under God. Not so. Does it matter that that's gone away? I think it should matter. And you know what I'm saying is true. That's how far we've fallen. The question becomes, how do we get back up? Can we get back up? Can you make America one again? At the rate we're going, the answer to that is absolutely not. Because depending on what side you are on, the tenets that made the nation what it is no longer exist. There are people who have done away with that for their own selfish reasons. Our forefathers, and, you know, let me temper what I'm saying, because, you know, every time I hear people talk about the great forefathers and all of those things, you know, I have to always temper what I'm saying, because the people of color, they weren't that great. And if you don't understand why, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But what they talked about outside of that part of it, it's what built this nation and made it what it is. Those things are gone. And you know who, you know, helped destroy them. And the question becomes, what we are going to do to try to bring those tenants back. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, we're going to be gone, and those tenants should have lived forever. The fact that they lasted as long as they did said something about the people who came before us and what their beliefs were. But the people who are here now, you know, our beliefs are a whole lot different. And our beliefs are selfishly directed at me, myself, and I. Not we. The United States of America. You know what I mean? United. Collective. Together. We're as far apart as we've been, again, in this nation since the Civil War. Whether people want to believe it or not or accept it or not, I can't help that. But we got to have a true dialogue. And the question becomes, you know, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. That's the United States of America that's fallen off the wall. That is decimated inwardly. Who's going to bring it back together? Who's going to put Humpty Dumpty back together? Phone lines are open. I know Connor will. 844-967-2789. What do you say? We're going to continue the conversation. And, I don't need any help. If you don't want to join in, that's fine. I can handle it. But you have an opportunity at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Stevie Wonder, man.
Beatles. Wrong and still think that it's
all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And a surprise guest has just entered into the studio, none other than Mr. Don Brown. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Earl, good morning. I just came in to check to make sure we have equipment. Connor and I are covering Waukesha South's first basketball game tonight at Tosa West. Should be an exciting game. So, I appreciate you inviting me on and appreciate your topic, too. Extremely important.
How does it feel to be on the air this early in the morning, man? You're generally on the air at a later time.
Saturday mornings at 8 I'm on. And then, but there was a week when Matt used to do 6 to 8, he was on vacation, and it was the week of St. Patrick's Day. So I had the whole week. It was great. I loved it.
Well, Matt, it's so good to have you join me for a few minutes. I'm really challenging our country because things are not getting better. You just look around you and you see things coming apart at the seams, you know, where we can't, as Americans, come together, man. And that's not a good harbinger for those who come after us and for the future. And I believe that it's our generation that has to fix this before we leave here, right? Because it's our generation that created this.
Yeah.
You know, my parents' generation didn't do this. Mm-hmm. It's my generation that has separated the American people.
Yeah. You know, when I grew up, Earl, I'm in my 50s, so I grew up in the aftermath of the Vietnam War. And there was, you could say the U.S. had a, you know, there was some low self-esteem, or there were some people that were anti-government or whatever, but there was still that pledge to the allegiance in the morning. And I was in second grade, third grade, and we were celebrating our bicentennial, and that was still a big deal. And it's okay to be against government positions. So it's okay to protest the government in certain ways, but you know, we're all American. It's what we got to remember what unites us first. And the pledge has always been a great tool for our young people and really for everybody to express their support and their belief in the American experiment.
You know, the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation. Right?
Right.
Are we one nation now? Is I don't see, and the reason that I'm challenging that is the divide from the congressionally.
Yeah.
And even at the Supreme Court level. Mm-hmm. The tenets that make America what she is,
right,
is really in a desperate, desperate time. And what bothers me is that we the people see this, and we the people have to fix it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we elect people, we put them in positions of power, and then we turn away from them, and then you see the things that happen.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because on my show and as a former alderman, something I always insisted on was, okay, voting is extremely important. There's no doubt about that. But there's the other however many years before the next election or months of government where we need people's participation. You know, like, when was the last time? That's the challenge I have for everyone out there. When was the last time you called a legislator about an issue you had? When was the last time you read the newspaper, watched the news, or watched or listened to NPR and got some real news? And really, you know, really played a role. And it was the thing I loved most as alderman was getting the phone calls, even when they were bad calls, when they were complaints, because it gave me an opportunity to engage, gave me an opportunity to figure out what was going on out in my community and to do something about it.
So you, my involvement with alder people, most of them, especially in the city of Milwaukee, is that in a representative government, this is what I think we need to really be conscious about: representative government. The people we elect have to do our bidding for us in this nation. We can't do it individually. And so we elect people, select people who are supposed to take care of those things on our behalf. Mm-hmm. But I never will forget an alder person who I used to have respect for.
Right.
And we were at a gathering, and he got a call from his aide. And I heard him mockingly saying, "Check and see if that person voted."
Yeah.
And the guy said, "No." He said, "Put the complaint at the bottom."
Yeah.
That's real.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's not only real on the local levels, that's real across the board.
Sure.
And so when we have people who we put our trust and faith in, and yet we and that's why it's so critically important that you get to know who that person is and then follow up on it. Because when people get to a point where I've got to make a decision on whether or not I'm going to support the people who put me in office,
right,
or whether or not the lobbyists who I'm sitting down with, that should never be any question about that. You wouldn't be sitting down with the lobbyists if it wasn't for the people who elected you.
No doubt.
So shouldn't your allegiance be to those people?
Yeah.
More so than the lobbyists?
And as much so to the people that didn't elect you, the ones that didn't vote, which I think is
right.
Or voted for the other person. You still have an obligation to them.
But that's what we're dealing with, right?
Right.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. Sure. Mr. Don Brown is in the studio with me. Glad he's here. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm so glad to have my colleague, Mr. Don Brown, former alderman of Waukesha, and now a host on Saturdays here at 5:40 a.m. WAUK, who's just didn't have anything better to do, so he, I'm joking, man, he decided, and I'm glad to see him. I'm glad he's here. He's an honest man, and so Don, as I was talking, let me finish this last stanza up. One nation, under God, indivisible. With liberty and justice for all. Those are powerful, powerful words, right?
No doubt.
I mean, they're more than words.
It says it all.
Yeah, and individually those words might not mean
right.
a whole lot, but collectively,
yeah.
from the onset of it,
yeah.
it's power.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's endangered today.
It really is. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but I think it's like we were talking during the break that people need to get more, to have faith in the process. You need to be a part of the process. And it isn't just voting. It's communicating with your legislators. Write them a letter, put a stamp on it the old-fashioned way, or send an email now or call. Be relentless, because that's what, you know, affects change.
Well, we just had a legislature.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't met since March.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, like that's criminal. Or that's...
Okay, yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah.
We could, you can write them, you can call them. They're not in session.
Right.
We've been paying them.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are there to represent us, the definition of representative government has been trashed since March.
Yeah.
In the state, right?
Well, and even prior to that, with the way that the maps have been drawn.
Right.
I mean, there's obvious gerrymandering. You know, people aren't being represented fairly, and maybe that impacts maybe people's apathy or maybe lack of feeling in that. But, again, it's that Pledge of Allegiance that should reinforce to you what needs to be done, and we should be pounding on doors and forcing the powers to be. We need fair districts. We need fair maps. We need to give everybody that fair share of the American dream.
Well, you know, we are too busy in our own lives to address those issues, right? I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I mean, I'm doing my own thing. Life's good.
Sure.
And so I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I vote, and now you expect me to do something else?
Sure.
Well, yeah, we do expect you to do
something else. We also don't have time for, like, I've got to leave in 5 minutes to go to the dentist.
Right.
I don't have time for that.
I know.
But guess what? I got to make time for it. So it's you have to think of it in that vein. It's like, you know, and again, it's start locally. if your trash isn't being picked up properly, if there's litter in your park, if there's people making noise loud late at night, like, that's where your government's supposed to help you. So, that's where you're supposed to reach out.
So those are little things that that you can address and deal with, mm-hmm. but on a state level and on a national level,
yeah.
our entire lives are being impacted and affected.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
And yet it's almost as if we can't do anything
right
to change that. And yeah. and so when we talk about that Pledge of Allegiance and the fact that we say we're a nation founded under the Judeo-Christian mm-hmm. ethic.
Right.
Where's that being exhibited?
You know, and it's funny is people use Christianity or religion to promote their views, and it's so skewed. It's just like, where is the Christianity in some of the arguments you're making? It's very self-serving.
Well, yeah, it is.
And
again, I'll say again that I may anger somebody.
Yeah.
Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. If what I'm saying is untrue, correct me.
Yeah.
Because you've got some young children, and they deserve what we had.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Now, who's going to give it to them? Who's going to make it what it was so they can enjoy and live life as freely and openly as we were able to?
And carry on that tradition with their children so forth.
That's what's at stake.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And because at the rate we're going now and a trajectory of where we're going now is a dangerous point in time. And we can look, so... Here you can get mad at me again, but I saw people celebrating. Oh,
yeah,
we beat Iran,
right?
In soccer,
yeah,
yay, America!
That was a heck of a goal.
Yeah, America, yeah. Yay, yeah. We won.
Right?
Okay, we.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, where's the we?
Mm-hmm.
With things that really matter.
Yeah.
If we can come together collectively,
right.
To celebrate the fact that we beat Iran in a soccer match.
Yeah.
Where are we at on the real issues that impact and affect?
We should be doing the same thing when we're lifting more people out of poverty or when we're providing better education for our children.
There's no question. Where is the camaraderie in what we deal with on a daily basis in America?
No doubt.
You know.
Yeah.
And so, again, you know... I'm not admonishing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about, as a grizzled old man, what I see.
You're not that old, Earl.
Well, I mean, what I see and what I've seen.
Right.
And where we're headed.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless we turn that around.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can turn that around but us.
Right.
And we need to begin to do that. Right?
We sure do.
Yeah. And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, that's right. And I apologize, I have to leave in a minute, but there are big state and national problems, but it starts local. And so, and I think some of the better politicians in our history were ones that were affected by local issues. And when you see how empowering it is to make a change, because you don't have to be an elected official to do that, but it would compel you maybe to do more, maybe to run for office or maybe to work in government or to just do more for your community. And so it's start local. Find one thing that's eating away at you. For me, it's the poverty in this community that's gotten really bad over recent years and the food insecurity. And so I want to do something about
that. I'm going to talk about food insecurity on the show today. The other part of this is I'm old enough to remember when Wisconsin was one of the cleanest governments in the country. They always talked about Wisconsin government. The cleanest government in the entire nation is,
I don't know if you remember that. Thank you, Pat Lucy.
Yeah, that's what Wisconsin was considered.
Right.
That's a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And it is clearly not the case now. And so with the gerrymandering and all of those things, it's led to a government that is not so clean anymore.
Right.
right?
Yeah.
And so somebody dirtied it up.
Yeah.
Okay. If it was clean, and it was, somebody dirtied it up. And the question becomes, who dirtied it up and why?
Yeah.
I can tell you why it's dirty. It's so dirty is because money.
Yeah. And it's there for the taking because not enough people are paying attention. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
To me, anyway.
Well, you know, the money is there for the taking. And you know, when you talk about the fact that we know people are taking money, which should be a crime.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be talking about all the other criminals and all the other things that go on. But anybody who's stealing money in public office.
Yeah.
We should want to make sure that they pay a price, right?
Big price.
It's not just the guy who's selling a nickel bag of weed on the street that we need to lock up.
Yeah.
Those people who claim to be representing us in the government.
Taking dirty money.
Yeah, taking dirty money.
Yep.
Should have to pay a price. 80%
of the crime in this country is white-collar crime.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to pay attention to. Well, and that's what ultimately leads to all the other violence around us.
So the 80% of the white-collar crime, the only people who can clean that up are the legislators.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, and those on that level.
No doubt.
Who have to fix that.
Yep.
Right? We don't have access in a representative government. Let's say I go to Madison and I want to speak in the chamber and I want to talk about the white collar criminals.
Right.
And they're gonna say, first off, I'm not going to be able to get in there.
And second, you better be careful. You know, check your car twice before you start the ignition. You know, that's the unfortunate part of it too.
But we got to get those things fixed, man.
We sure do.
But I appreciate you.
Same here. I'm sorry, I got to run.
No,
this has been a nice surprise, and I know I got to have you on my show real soon too. So
that's fine. You and I will reconnect this Saturday at the Christmas parade.
That's right. Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah.
Right.
So make sure you're here by like 1:45.
All right. I'll see you then, my friend.
For you. All right.
Thanks so much.
Catch the black shirts tonight on Walk Radio.
All right.
6:30. The coverage starts. Thanks again.
All right. See you later. You know, this, and as we move forward with the program, I'm gonna bring all of these things together. Right. Listen to this, Connor. Where is it at? And I do know that what we're dealing with angers people. Listen to this. So here's Donald Trump. He wants to be the president of the United States again, right? So everybody knows that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Everybody knows that. And he's been able to, hide behind being a white supremacist because people don't want to believe that he is that. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring Dave up quickly before we get to the break. Hey, Dave, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Hey, Earl. Good morning. I think I can explain the disconnect that you're highlighting about the Pledge of Allegiance and the current state of our country. The Pledge of Allegiance, the one that we're using now, that was adopted by Congress, was written and composed by Francis Bellamy, a socialist. So I think it would be more appropriate for a socialist country because everything in that pledge are the aspirations of a socialist. And it just doesn't fit in a capitalist system. Our system is dog-eat-dog, social Darwinism, vulture capitalism. So that explains the disconnect.
Dr. Martin Luther King once said, what happens in this nation is capitalism for the poor and socialism for the wealthy.
Exactly.
He was 100% correct. And look how long ago that was. And nothing's more clear about that statement than right now. So, you know, socialism for those who have money and capitalism, they tell us how great that is. But you know what, Dave? The Pledge of Allegiance and what we've been taught and what it stands for. Hey, Dave, hang on a second. We've got to go to a quick break. Hang on for a second.
Sure.
844-967-2789. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Thank you, Dave, for hanging on, man, because, you know, I know that, you know, the conversation that I'm having right now probably turns people's stomachs because we want to believe, you know, as if, you know, it's a fairy tale. That America and all the things that we were taught, you know, is real. But after you've been around a while, you realize that it's not. And so we have to challenge her to make these things, these principles that founding fathers came up with, to make them real. And we can know, and I don't understand how we're so silent and afraid to challenge the nation to be right. You know what I mean, Dave?
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Again, I just go back to our culture, the capitalist culture. It's wrong. It's not sustainable. I mean, being based on continuous growth on a finite planet, there's going to be winners and losers. It's set up for that kind of conflict.
Yeah, it truly is. And then when we talk about socialist countries and socialism, where it basically says we, you know, people aren't going to be able to take advantage of other people,
right?
And so if you think about that, how does that not make sense? Shouldn't that be something, especially when we're talking about a creator and we're talking about God? What is closer to God, and if you believe in one or deity, then everybody being treated equally.
Right. And think about arguably our most popular president that L.A. Tom likes to refer to, FDR,
right.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was elected four times. Why do people like him so much? Or why was he such a great president? He had the guts to introduce socialist policy into the, you know, American system. And that's why he was so popular. That's why we love him so much. You know, created Social Security,
Medicare.
You name it. You know,
right.
all of the great benefits that we have as citizens of this great country. It was the socialism that we like.
Yes, and we live in a nation that can afford that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Come on. If the nation and so you've heard the terms, we've all heard the terms, redistribution of wealth, right?
Right.
What has happened in this country is there has been a redistribution of wealth. They took it away from the middle class and gave it to the wealthy.
Right.
But now they've got... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you would think we've had 250 years of capitalism in this country, and it's supposed to be such a great system that raises all boats, right?
Right.
Look at the state of the country now. There's still hungry people, homeless people. To me, it looks like a total failure.
Yeah, people without insurance, right?
Right. Without health care.
Yeah.
The only country in the industrialized world that does not provide health care.
Elderly people who enter into the last stages of their lives, not able to eat healthily. Not having the right food, not having enough money in their last years to live out the last years of their life with dignity. But what are we talking about, man? And yet there are those, and I'm going to talk about it when we come back, about billionaires who are working right now and they've been to retreats to learn how to extend their lives and live well beyond 100 years and live well. Why? Because they have money. What kind of freaking society is it that people who have money should be able to live longer than people who don't have? How can we celebrate that kind of society, right?
Right, especially when they earn that all of that wealth off the backs of the working class.
Yes. But this is a taboo subject, which I don't have any problem talking about. People who know me know that I'm not fearful of having a dialogue and a conversation that is based on truth. And there's nothing we are talking about. You've listened to me now for a while. Have I said anything that's inaccurate?
Not at all.
I mean, that's just it. And people aren't used to people having testicular fortitude to say this. And how dare him say that? Well, guess what? I know that none of us live forever. I don't care how much money you have. You're going to have to meet your maker just like I am. And it would be a lot better, I think, for all of us if we included every human being on the earth and that hopefully they can live up to their fullest potential. Wouldn't it be a much better world, Dave?
Yes, it would. That's the goal, you know.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time out to join me. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Would it be sacrilege kind of to say the gospel according to Earl?
Yeah, probably.
All right, so I won't say that. But anyway, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.